Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Gimel. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading known as the Nosei, and we'll read it together. Birur Machloikes Beishamayu Beisilel. We'll be analyzing a controversy, a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, b'shiur shetach sukkah, regarding the area of a sukkah. Aleph, machloikes b'sukkah ketana, mahu hashiur. One approach will be to look at a minimum physical size of a sukkah. What's the minimum physical dimensions of a sukkah? And a second method of analysis will be Machlokes Besuka Gedoila, a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel concerning a large sukkah with ample space, the Shulchan Besoch HaBayis. However, the sukkah, as it is positioned, or in this particular case, it's set up adjacent to someone's house, and the table from which he is eating is located actually in the house. Im Goizrim Gzeira. Do we impose a gezeira, a restriction on sitting in such a sukkah? You can see, by the way, an illustration on page 6 of the Pirush Chai, illustration number 20, where a person is sitting in a sufficiently large sukkah. The table, though, is in the house. So, do we worry about the possibility of the person bending over the table and, in effect, being in the house while he is eating, or do we say, let him sit where he is, and we'll rely on his bringing the food to his mouth without bending over? So that, as he is seated now, do we say that he fulfills his sukkah requirement, or do we impose a rabbinic restriction, a gezeira, saying that you don't fulfill your requirement this way because of the fear that you might actually bend over into the house in order to eat, at which point you, in fact, are not fulfilling sukkah whatsoever, even on a doraisa level. So as we said, there are two approaches with regard to the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and it's important to note that there is a Mishnah Daf Chof Ches that is worth noting. And we'll read the Mishnah just so you should get a flavor of what is happening. And if you have Daf Chof Ches available, by all means, take a look at it. The Mishnah reads as follows: Mishahoya roisha v'ruva b'sukkah v'shulchano b'soch habayis. Someone whose head and torso was in the sukkah, and his table is located in his house, as we saw illustrated in number 20. Beis Shammai poison u Beis Hillel machshirin. Beis Shammai says unfit, it's unacceptable, and Beis Hillel says it's kosher. Omru lohem Beis Hillel lebeis Shammai. Beis Hillel argued in favor of being machshirid as follows: Lo kachoya maisa sholchu ziknei Beis Shammai v'zikne Beis Hillel vakir es Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis. Is it not so that the elders of these two houses of learning, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, went to visit Rabbi Yochanan the ben Achoranis, v'matzilu shoy yoshev roshev ruba b'sukkah v'shulchan b'sabayas, and he was seated in such a fashion, v'lo amru lo dover, and nothing was said to him. Amru lohem Beis Shammai mishom raya. Beis Shammai argued, are you trying to bring a proof from the story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranis? Afheim amru lo. In fact, the sages that went in to visit him, they said to him, Im kein ho yisonoig lo kiamta misasukkah miyomecha, if thusly you have behaved or practiced, you've never fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. There's more to the Mishnah, but it's not directly relevant to our discussion. With all of that background in mind, we turn to the Gemara. 11 lines from the top. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Halacha tzricha shetei machzekes roishoi v'rubo v'shulchano. So Rav Shmuel rules that the minimum physical size of a sukkah is such that it must be able to hold your head, torso, and the table as well. Now we're going to have two versions of what we're going to see now in the next 2-3 lines. So we have an aleph and a beis noted, and a squiggle underline ikod diamri, meaning there is a different version of what we're going to see now. Omar le Rabbi Abba, keman kebe shamai. So Rabbi Abba asks Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok, your ruling is based on whom? Is it based on Beis Shammai? Because if it was based on Beis Hillel, we saw in the Mishnah that we cited that they don't require the table to be in the sukkah. So Omar Lei. So Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok answers back, Elo Kaman, well then like whom else? Of course, this ruling is like Beis Shammai. Yes, I ruled like Beis Shammai. By the way, it's very unusual that we would find a ruling like Beis Shammai, but that's what the case is over here. Iko di Amri, another version, Omar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says to Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, the Omar Lachmoni, that was told to you, is according to whom? Omar le Beis Shammai hi velo tozuz mino. Rav Shmuel answers that this is a ruling in accordance with Beis Shammai and do not budge from it. As we go on, we notice a structure that we want to note. We have triangles, and as you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice the triangles appear in two different directions. In effect, constituting two long questions that are back to back, and on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading, we have the following: Sheilos Birur. These are clarification questions. Kedei lemakeid, in order to focus. B'mai Chokin Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. What are they arguing about? B'mishnah lekamon Dav Chof Ches B'suka Ketana. Are they arguing about a sukkah, a small sukkah, physical? What's the minimum size, physical size of a sukkah? Ma hashiur haminimali, what's the minimum shiur, the minimum dimension? Is that what they are arguing about? In other words, machzekes roshav rubo, is that enough? Or do you need machzekes roshav rubo and shulchano and the table as well? Oi, besukkah gedoyla pligi, omigaz rinon gzeira. Or are they arguing about a large sukkah, ample space? However, someone is sitting, eating from a table that's not in the sukkah. Do we rule that he is not fulfilling sukkah that way, or not? Or we say it's okay as long as he doesn't actually bend over into the house. So now we continue in the Gemara. Maskif law, Rav Nachman is noting that we have a long question, and Rav Nachman is coming on the heels of Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok presented a ruling concerning the machlokas between Beis Shammai Hillel, and Rav Shmuel's presentation was such that their argument surrounded a small size sukkah. What's the minimum size of a small sukkah? In other words, what's the minimum dimension of a sukkah? That is how Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok learned the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and he ruled accordingly. Maskiflo Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok mimayde Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel besukkah ketana pligi. Who is to say that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel are arguing about the minimum size of a sukkah? Dilma b'sukkah gedoyla pligi. Maybe their machlokis surrounds a large sukkah. Ukagoin de Yosef apuma de metaluso. Here we're looking at illustration 20, and the person is sitting. The man is sitting at the puma, is the entrance of the sukkah. v'shulchanu b'soch habayis, with the table from which he's eating in the house. The Beis Shammai Savri, Beis Shammai are restrictive and hold, Gazrinon, Shemo Imoshech Achar Shulchano, that they impose a restriction on this situation for fear of the individual bending over and being drawn after his table, which would then would be in effect his being in the house. In other words, they make a gzera that even if he doesn't bend over, we rule, you are not fulfilling your mitzvah. Even if he brings the food to his mouth, but this is a power that the Rabbanan would have to rule. You are not in fulfillment, even though physically he's in the sukkah and he's bringing the food to his mouth, but that ruling is based on the fear that he might bend over, and if he does, then you don't need the Rabbanan to tell you he's not yotze. In such a fashion, he's not yotze even midoraisa. Beis Hillel Safri lo gazrinon. Beis Hillel says, as long as you don't bend over, and you sit there, as you see in illustration 20, you're sitting in the sukkah and bringing the food to your mouth, then you are okay. And we don't impose a restriction. V'daiko nami, and through careful reading, you can see that, in fact, the machlokes is person-centered, gzeira-oriented, as opposed to a physical dimension controversy. We can say, in using terminology that's familiar to many in yeshivas, that the presentation made by Rav Nachman is a gavra, a person-centered controversy. Is the person set to fulfill the mitzvah this way or not? Versus a cheftza, an object-related machlokas, i.e. minimum size of physical sukkah as point of controversy. So he says, you know, you can see this through careful reading, like I am suggesting, like Rav Nachman is suggesting, that it's person-centered. Dikotoni, the language is as follows. And we read this Mishnah before, maybe you had it in front of you, but here it is quoted on our daf. Mi shehoya rosha v'ruba b'sukkah v'shulchano b'soch habayis, a person whose body was in the sukkah and his table was in the house, Beis Shammai poislanu Beis Hillel machshirim. Beis Shammai says it's not acceptable, and Beis Hillel says it's okay. Ve'im Esau, if it were so that the controversy between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was regarding the physical size of the sukkah, machsekes v'eino machsekes miboya lei. The Gemara here is very terse, but the point is that the reading should have been sukkah shemachzekes rosho v'rubo v'eino machzekes shulchanoi. So Beis Shammai would say it's no good, and Beis Hillel would say it's okay, but it doesn't say it that way. Machzekes and eino machzekes would have been expressions that focus on the physical. Its machzekes means to contain, its ability to contain. The sukkah's, what does the sukkah contain and what does it not contain? That would have been cheftza focused, object focused, but that's not what it says. So since that is not the language, let me read that line again. Ve'im Esau, if it were object focused, machzekes ve'eno machzekes miboyalei, the language would have been as such, as we just explained. So at this point, then Rav Nachman is making his point that the machlokes Beis Shammai Hillel is actually person oriented, gzeira oriented, as opposed to what Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok was trying to explain and rule. And now the triangle is flipped over. And here we go in the direction of Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, and not like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Ubesuka ketana lo pligi. And is it so that they are not arguing about a minimum physical size of the sukkah? V'ha tanya, we have the following source. Now, what we're going to see in this Gemara, two Tanaic sources are presented. We're calling them one, and then a few lines later, V'tani Yidoch number two. And we're going to try to compare and contrast these sources, and we'll then do thusly, and point out that the machlokas is like is being argued now, that they, Beishamesi, will argue about a minimum physical size of the sukkah. So the Gemara asks, Ubasukkah ketana lo plihi, and are they not arguing about a small, the minimum size of the physical size of the sukkah? V'hotanya, one source says, Machzekes rosho v'rubo v'shulchono ksheira. That is presented as the Chachomim's opinion. And we wrote that above the line and circled it. Chachomim would hold that. That if the sukkah holds you and your table, it's kosher. Rebbe Omer, Atshe hei bo arba amos al arba amos. Rebbe, more stringent, requiring a larger minimum size, namely 4 by 4 amos. Or if you prefer, approximately 2 by 2 meters. The Tanya Idoch. And then we have another source in which Rebbe appears and the Chachomim appear. Rebbe Omer kol sukkah she'ein bo arba amos al arba amos psula. This is Rebbe consistent with what he said just before, that any sukkah that doesn't have the minimum 4 by 4 amos size is unfit. Even if it contains only your head and most of your body, it's okay. Now, do you notice a difference between this chachomim and the chachomim just before? Of course you do. The ilu shulchana lo katani. In the second chachomim presentation, no mention was made of the need of holding of it containing the table as well. Kashina hadodi. Should we say that these two Tanaic sources are contradictory within the chachomim? El olav. Rather, no, they're not contradictory. There are two different chachomim opinions reflected here. Source number one that said that the minimum size of the sukkah is such that it must contain the table as well, that's in accordance with Beis Shammai. And source number two that doesn't require table as well is in accordance with Beis Hillel. So what do we see at this point? We see that the machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is regarding minimum physical size of sukkah. This is not person-oriented, where the person is sitting, but rather the two chachomim here, one refers to Beis Shammai, the other refers to Beis Hillel, and their argument concerns minimum physical size of the sukkah, the cheftza-oriented machloikes. Omar Mar Zutra, Masnisinami Daika, through careful reading of the Tanaic source that we quoted before from Daf Chavches, this point is also conveyed, that the argument concerns the physical minimum size of a sukkah. Midakotoni, from the fact that it says, Beishamai poislin u beisilo machshirin. The expression poislin and machshirin is, are terms, poislin and machshirin are terms that have relevance to an object, as opposed to person performance. The im Esau, if it were so that the machlokes concerns a large sukkah and it's person oriented, the lashon, the expression, should have been Beishamai omrim lo yotza. According to Beishamai, the person is not in fulfillment. Ubeisila omrim yotza mi boya le. It should have said. But it doesn't say that. It says Beishamai poislin ubeisil machshirin, which are our structure object oriented rulings. Well, ve'ela kashya mishahoya. Well, then we have a problem with the original approach where we brought proof that it is in fact person oriented by the fact that it said mishahoya rosh of ruba basuka, and it didn't say sukkah shemachzekes rosho be'eno machzekes shulchano. So what do we do now about that element, that aspect, that it is person-focused? Li'oilam, the Gemara finally answers, and this is a long answer, but tarti pligi. Beishamai Hillel have a dual machlokes. Pligi besukka katana, upligi besukka gedoyla. They argue concerning a small sukkah. In other words, they have an argument concerning what is the minimum size of a sukkah, upligi besukkado, and they also have a machlokes concerning a case where a person is positioned at the entrance, he's within the sukkah, but at the exit or entrance to the sukkah with the table in the house. The chisirei mechasra v'hachi katoni, and the original source that we were quoting, the Mishnah from Dab Chopches, is abbreviated, and words, in order to understand it, would have to be added, and it would read thusly. Mishahoya roshav ruba basukkah v'shulchana basocha bayis. Someone who was sitting in a large sukkah, however, his table is located outside the sukkah in his house. Beis Shammai oimrim lo yotza, o beis Hillel yotza. Notice the terms lo yotza versus yotza, which are person focused. The sukkah is fine. The sukkah objectively is fine. The problem is where you are sitting. And Beis Shammai says the person is not yotze if his table is in the house. And Beis Hillel says the person is yotze. We're not, Beis Hillel saying, we're not worried he's going to bend over, but rather he will, we can rely on him to bring the food to his mouth, and we don't have to impose any gezerah on him. And now the second point, the she'eno machzekes ela kedei roshav rubo bilvad, a small sukkah that will contain only roshav rubo without the table as well. Beis Shammai poislinu Beis Hillel machshirin. Beis Shammai rules that a structure like that is unfit, and Beis Hillel would say a structure of that size is kosher, is acceptable. So in the Gemara that we've learned so far till this point was an attempt to clarify concerning what do we find Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing. And we answered they have a double controversy. One concerning what is in fact the minimum size of a sukkah for it to be acceptable. And the second controversy surrounds a case of a person sitting in the sukkah and his table is in the house. We continue in the Gemara with a standard type question, and that is, who is the author of a Tanaic source that will be presented in the Gemara? So we open the Gemara with a long question, which takes us till the third line from the top of Amud Beis. But before we learn the Gemara inside, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the Nosei. The Nosei deals with dinim hatluim bebayis im yesh lo shiur shetach shel arba amois al arba amois. A number of laws that have relevance to a house that has a minimum size of 4 by 4 amos. And the Gemara will be asking, who is the author of a source that defines a house by a minimum of 4 by 4 amos? L'kamen b'omid beis, ha-gemara titiaches l'kamo me'aprotim shemuzkorn kan. Later on Amud Beis, the Gemara will then focus in on a number of the details mentioned in this source. Now, just a word of note. We are currently listening to a shiur under the rubric of Gemara Markings. Gemara Markings is an attempt to present the Daf Gemara in a structured fashion, using the use of geometric forms, a visual, structured approach. And we also like to focus the discussion in such a way that we maintain a flow of the relevant points, which creates a situation that when Tanaic sources are quoted in full with a lot of information in them, when only one or two points are of direct relevance to the flow, to the logical flow, a decision has to be made. Should time be spent on all the additional information or not? What happens in many cases, people who start involving themselves with all the details of a source that is simply quoted in its entirety, but the relevant information is much more limited, one can lose focus of what is under discussion. In this case, we have a source that quotes information that has relevance to many, many different topics, and they are topics that are discussed in different masechtos. So we're going to take the liberty of limiting how much explanation we're going to provide regarding each one of the details. However, that which we do provide, it's because it's necessary for appreciating the general flow of the sugya at hand, of the topic at hand. So we have a source that opens up with, and we've numbered off 10 different points that are, we'll say, house-related. The Gemara. Man tana lahod tanu rabbanon. Who is the author of the following? Bayis she'ein bo arba amos al arba amos. Potter min ha-mezuzah, u min ha-maikev, eino metame min ha-goyim, etc. A whole list of halachas that we'll mention again, but what you noticed immediately is the dashed underline arba amos, arba amos. That is in order to draw your attention to the main question. What was the question? Who is the author of this source? The Gemara, at the second line from the top of Omid Beis, says, Lemo Rebbe Hiva L'Rabbonon. Should we say that this source is in accordance with Rebbe and not the Rabbonon? Now, did we see Rebbe? Yes, we saw him in the previous discussion, and we had noted that Rebbe was consistent when he was defining the minimum size of a sukkah. It needs to be 4x4 amos. So that's reflective of a certain, let's say, a perception that a structure doesn't have significance until it has that minimum amount. So just like we saw Rebbe above saying the sukkah must be a minimum of 4x4 amos, so too this source would most likely be authored by Rebbe. That is the question. The Gemara will say, no, Rebbe may have said what he said there by sukkah, but what is said over here is not limited to Rebbe. The Rabbanan might also adopt the 4x4 amma statistic regarding this series of halachas. So in this series, we had number one, poter min ha-mezuzah, meaning a house or a room that measures less than 4x4 amos is not obligated in having a mezuzah. Umin ha-maike. Maike is a fence around a roof, so that if you have just imagine a very small booth that has a flat roof to it, and the booth itself measures less than 4x4 amos, there'd be no need to provide a mica. A mica is a fence around the roof to prevent people from falling. V'eino mitame b'negoyim. A house that is of such a small size is not subject to the whole topic of tumas negoyim. Tumas negoyim comes under the heading of tsara'as, which affects not only people and clothing, but it could affect a house, a structure. But if the structure is lacking this minimum size, 4x4 amos, so the rules of Negoyim are inapplicable. They don't apply. Negoyim or Tsaras doesn't affect that such a small structure. V'eino nechlat b'bote orei choyma. Briefly, there is a portion in the Torah that speaks about someone selling a house in a city that was walled from the times of Joshua. And the Torah says that if someone sells a house in such a city, if one owns a house in what's called Bote or Choma, in a Choma is a wall, it's a house in a city surrounded by a wall. If one sells such a house and doesn't buy it back from the purchaser within 1 year, so a standard house of sufficient size in a bote or a chom, in a walled city, if you don't buy it back from the person you sold to within 1 year, it becomes the possession, the permanent possession of the purchaser. What if it's very small? What if you own a booth in a walled city that measures less than 4x4 amos? So, eino nechlad. It doesn't become permanently the possession of the purchaser, and it would be then treated with the rules of field sales. People sell fields, open fields. And that rule says that when the Yovel, the Jubilee year, arrives, it is to be returned to the original owner. So Eino Nechlat means it doesn't become permanent in the hands of the purchaser. And then, once again, if it's a house or a structure that measures less than 4 by 4 amos. V'ein, number 5, V'ein chozer nalav me'orchei ha'milchoma. There is a portion in the Torah that speaks about an individual who built a new house, and he hasn't consecrated it yet. Even though the rest of the people are drafted into a war, into a military action, because he built a new house, he is entitled to return home. If, however, the structure that he built is so small, it's less than 4 by 4 amos, so he does not return home. He's ein chozun olav mei orchei hamucham. He doesn't return from the battle that is being waged. So far, those halachas, those 5 halachas, are covered by psukim in the Torah. And Rashi presents the psukim on Omid Beis, in the upper third of the page. Rashi quotes the psukim that are relevant to those 5 halachas. Now, as we go on in the source that again deals with structures that are less than 4 by 4 amos, we get into a list of rabbinic halachas, and we continue with our numbering, number 6. V'ein ma'arvin boi, v'ein mishtatfin boi. The Gemara will focus when it deals with the source. It will focus on these halachas in its quotes later on. So, ein ma'arvin bo. If you have a house or a series of apartments that open to a common courtyard, there is a rabbinic restriction in carrying from houses to the courtyard, because the courtyard is a jointly held area. It's reminiscent of a public area. It reminds a person, it's similar to a Rishus HaRabim, which is of course restricted when it comes to carrying from private domains into public domains on Shabbos. So rabbinically, even though the chotzer, the courtyard, is enclosed, but since it's jointly owned, there is the need for making an eruv in order to carry from the individually owned private houses to the courtyard and vice versa. The procedure would be where all the house members that open into the courtyard contribute a portion of food, and it's all placed in one of the houses. By doing that, it creates a feeling or a sense of singularity. Everyone is together, so to speak, and they are all dwelling together in one house. So that it removes the sense of multiple ownerships with regard to the chotzer. Again, these are rabbinic rules, and there's an entire Maseches Erevin that deals with these in greater detail. However, the point here is Ein Ma'arvin Bo means that food that was collected that unifies all the joint owners and is placed in a house, the food will not be placed in a house that is less than 4 by 4 amos. And that you can see in the Rashi about 8-9 lines up from the end. We've dashed, underlined it. Vashminu nocha debayis she'ein bo arba al arba ein tzorch litein esapas. We must correct ourselves. We made a slight error, but it's the ein ma'arvin bo means that he doesn't contribute food. A person who dwells in a very small booth that measures less than 4 by 4 amos doesn't contribute to the food. And the next point, number 7, v'ein mishtatfin bo. Shituf has to do with an alleyway. We spoke about this in our previous year. A alleyway, you can call it a dead end street, that's surrounded on three sides by courtyards and houses. In order to be able to carry in and out of the courtyards to the alleyway, so something called a shituf muvos must be made, where people, like we saw by the Erev Chatzeros, they join together with a food collection. And we are told here that a person who owns a very small house that opens into a courtyard, a courtyard that opens into the Movui, but he lives in this very small house, he does not contribute toward the Shituf Muvos. This Shituf comes from the word Shutafim. Shutafim are partners, joint owners. So the as we mentioned, that there's a need for joining together to create a single sense of ownership with regard to the alleyway. He who dwells in such a small structure doesn't have to contribute toward that joining. He doesn't affect them. And number eight is what we mistakenly referred to when we were describing number six. Here is the time to say it. The Ein Manichin Bo Eruv. The Eruv Chatzeros that is collected, is the food is not placed in this very small house that opens to the chatzir, this less than 4x4 amma structure. And we continue at the top of Omid Beis, number 9, the Ein Oisin Oisa Ibor Bein Shtei Ayoros. In order to appreciate this, we glance in the Pirush Chai at illustration 23. There is a concept on Shabbos known as a Tchum Shabbos, whereby one is allowed to walk 2,000 amos in all directions around his city, around where he lives. So a person's Shabbos location is, in the case that a person at the beginning of Shabbos is located in a city, the city is his Shabbos location, and the law says that you're allowed to walk no more than 2,000 amos in all directions of the city. Now, if you have two cities that are very close to one another, they join up to form one large city, and the 2,000 amma mark, or the 2,000 amma measuring, starts from the extremes of these two cities. And again, they are viewed as one city. Now, all of this is illustrated in the Pirush Chai, picture 23. Now, let us say, we didn't say how close the two cities must be to one another in order to be considered one. So generally speaking, if they are within 70 2/3 amos of one another, they're considered one. What happens if they measure more than 70 2/3 amos from one another? Well, then ordinarily they don't join together, and the measuring starts from the edges of each one respectively. However, if there is a house that is positioned between the two, it's a normal sized house, and it's, as you can see in the illustration, is within 70 2/3 amos of both of the cities, that will serve to join them together. They're viewed as one continuum. However, if the structure between the two cities, in as you see in 23, is a very small structure, then we say ein osin oso ibor. Ibor comes from the lushan of pregnancy, a lushan of muuberes, which in the case of a woman who's pregnant, so her belly extends beyond her, the house is said to extend beyond the city. And hence the term ibur bein shtei ayoros. But if it's a very small structure, so it doesn't serve that purpose of joining the two cities to form one municipal entity with regard to the measuring of the tchum. And number 10, v'ein ho'achin v'ashutfin cholkin boi. That we'll have to leave for the Gemara to analyze later on. But translated, it means that brothers who inherit from their father, or partners that jointly own this very small structure, they don't divide it. Anyway, we emphasized before when we introduced this piece of Gemara that the emphasis is placed on the 4x4 amal statistic. regarding all of these halachas. Leimor Rebbe hi v'lo Rabbanan. Should we say that this is in accordance with Rebbe and not the Rabbanan? Now, when we make a reference to Rebbe, so if it's not clear, we can use the little star that you see to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, and that will draw your attention back to Omid Aleph, where you see a parallel star indicating Omid Beis, where you saw back on Omid Aleph Rebbe and his minimum size of a sukkah, 4x4 amos. So it seems that it's only Rebbe that assigns significance to the 4x4 amos statistic, namely, and less than that, the structure has no significance. Rebbe said before, the sukkah has no significance if it's less than 4x4, whereas the Rabbanan were willing to accept a sukkah that's less than 4x4 amos. And the Gemara is suggesting right now that just like the Rabbanan were willing to accept a sukkah that's less than 4x4 amos, so regarding all of these halachas also, if it's less than 4x4 amos, they still would have a house definition, or definition of a house. The Gemara rejects this. In other words, this question was raised, and now we answer. We respond, and hence we have a long answer marking. Afilu Tema Rabbanon. The source that we just learned with its 10 halachas can conform with the Rabbanon as well. The Rabbanon who were arguing before with Rebbe. Ad kan lo kwami Rabbanon hosom elolinyan sukkah. The diras aroihi. Up till now, the Rabbanon were arguing with Rebbe only with regard to a sukkah. Because, why were they allowing something less than 4x4 amos? Because the Rabbanon's idea or perception of a sukkah is it is a temporary type structure. So even if it is something of rather little significance, it's holds Rosh Hashanah, or you know, it's less than 4x4 amos, it's something very flimsy, very small, it's okay as a sukkah. Because a sukkah itself is a diras aroi, according to the Rabbanan approach. Something that is a diras aroi, something that is a very temporary, relatively insignificant nature. Avolagabi bias, but when it comes to laws that are literally house related. For example, you build a fence around the roof. You wouldn't build a fence around the roof of a sukkah, obviously. You're building the fence around the roof of a house. Or you place a mezuzah on a house. And we mentioned before there are psukim to indicate many of these points. So when it comes to halachas that are house oriented, the diras kevahu, which is a permanent type structure, afilu rabbanon modu, the rabbanon will concede the is be arba amos al arba amos dairibo inshi. If it has that minimum size of 4x4 amos, people will dwell in it as on an ongoing basis. Below, and if it lacks 4x4 amos, lo dairibo inshi. People will not live in it on an ongoing house type basis. So that what we opened up with the question, namely the source that spoke about a bayis shein bo arba amos as being authored only by Rebbe and not the Rabbanan, we say no, that's not so. That source with its 10 halachas could be something the Rabbanan will accept as well, and the reason being because those 10 halachas were house related halachas, and as such a house being a diras keva, that is not achieved unless you have a minimum of 4x4 amos in size. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a new marking. On the side, under our Mivneh heading, we have the shape, the trapezoid or volcano shape. And we've indicated, Situtim meha Braisa d'Liel. These are quotes from the Braisa, Soif Omid Aleph, Ubaroish Omid Zeh, and from the top of this Omid as well, where the Tanaic source had continued. So we're going to see quotes, and the Gemara will then analyze the points mentioned. Omar Mar, we mentioned that a house that doesn't have 4x4 amos poter min amazuza umin amayke v'ein metame v'negoyim v'ein o nechlat bebotei orei choyma v'ein choyzerin olav me'orche hamelchoma. One doesn't return to consecrate such a house, being that it is so small. He doesn't return from the battle. My taima, what is the reason behind each one of these rules? The bias ksiv behu bekulhu. The word bias appears in the Torah with regard to each one of these halachas. And we don't have to go over the Rashi inside. You can see it on your own very clearly. Rashi quotes each one of the relevant psukim in the order that they appear with regard to the source. First mezuzah, second Micah, third Negoim, etc. We continue in the Gemara. V'ein ma'arvin boy, v'ein mishtatfin boy, v'ein manichin boy eruv. We had mentioned that this very small structure, less than 4x4 amos, doesn't contribute to the eruv chatzeros, it doesn't contribute to the sheet of mavos, and the food is not placed in it either. My taimo, why is that? Delo chazi ledira. It's not fit for dwelling. And the in Maseches Eruvin, the topics of the food contributions in the Eruv Chatzeros, Shita Mavos, are said in the context of a dwelling. If we look in the Rashi briefly, Rashi says a few lines down from him, Delochazi Ladira, it's not fit for dwelling. The time of the Eruva, the reason behind an Eruv, Meforsh Be'eruvin, is explained in Maseches Eruvin, Mishum Dira. The food that is collected represents where you dwell. The bias shenoisnbo apashil eruv, the house in which the food that was collected, the bread that was collected in making an eruv, have ki'ilu kulon dorin besoho. It's as if all the different homeowners are dwelling in that one house. The nimseis kol achotzer mishtameshes lebayis echod, resulting in our goal was to make it such that the entire courtyard is serving only one house in your mind's eye. Hilkoch bayis deroy ledira bo'inon. Hence, in order for the house to qualify as a location for the food, it has to be a house that's fit for dwelling. We continue in the Rashi, Upas Nami, Eino Tzorach Litein. Someone who lives in a structure that's less than 4x4 amos doesn't have to contribute to the food. Kevon Delo Mikri Di Ra, since it's not called a dwelling. Ein Hador Bo, he who dwells in it, is not Oser Albanei Chotzer. He doesn't present a threat to the other members of the courtyard. Shein Rishu Sokun, because his location, i.e. the structure less than 4x4 amos, is considered as if it's not existent. We continue in the Gemara with a diuk. A question is raised. A ruve chatzeros ein manichin bo. Avo shituf manichin bo mai taimo. We mentioned in the source that we don't place the eruv chatzeros. That is, once again, houses that open into a joint courtyard. So the food collected is not placed in a structure less than 4x4 amos. However, in the case of the alleyway, with the courtyards and houses opening into the alleyway, food was collected, and we're inferring here, avo shituf manichin bo, the shituf muvos, that food collection enabling all the courtyards to become a one entity in order to be able to carry from the courtyards into the alleyway, that shituf food collection could be placed. We're inferring that the source told us Eruv Chatzeros food collection is not placed in the less than 4x4 amos, but the shituf could be placed in this structure less than 4x4 amos. My taima. Why? Why is that legitimate? The Gemara answers, and you'll note that it's a long answer. The logora mechotzer shebemovui. This booth, we'll call it a small structure, isn't worse than any one of the open courtyards that open into the alleyway. And what does that give us? This nan, the following source. Now, what happens in the next few lines is we present a text that's not clear. The Gemara then resolves the text and then comes to the main point in a few lines. Disnan. We have a source that says, Eruve chatseros bechotzer shitufei mavui b'mavui. Now this source is simply inaccurate. Va'avinon, why? And we ask, Eruve chatseros bechotzer, is that so that the food collection made to create an Eruv chatseros is placed in, the food is placed in the courtyard? Va'atnan, but we have learned the following. Hanoisein Eruvo. Now, in this source, there are illustrations that help to appreciate what is being taught, as illustration 148 that shows a beishar, and there's an illustration 290 that shows an achsadra, and there's an illustration 29 that shows umir pesis. For our purposes, though, we just have to see that the source tells us that if you place your eruv in a beishar, an achsadra, umir pesis, Eino Eruv, it's not acceptable, it doesn't operate. Vador Sham Eino Osir, someone who lives, let's say lives in a Beishar, in a guard booth, or he lives on a Mirpesis, on a balcony, he doesn't present a restriction to the other members if he doesn't contribute the food. Not so if you have one of the homeowners opening to a courtyard that doesn't contribute, so that restrains or prevents the Eruv Chatseros from being effective. But these are not considered dwellings. So, what do we see here? We see here that the source quoted just before, the Eruv Chatseros Bechotzer, here you see that you can't place your Eruv in any one of these things, and certainly not in the Chotzer. Elo Emo, rather, we have to restate the original source. Read it as follows. Eruve Chatseros Bebayis Shebechotzer. In illustration 21, shows how you do it. The food collected to create an Eruv Chatseros is placed where? In a house. In one of the houses that opens into the courtyard. V'shitufei mevuos b'chotzer shebemovui. And the shituf mavui, the food collection to join the courtyards together in order to carry from them into the alleyway, where is the shituf mevuos placed? B'chotzer shebemovui. It's placed in one of the courtyards. The high is this pochos midalid structure, logora mechotzer shebemovui. It's not worse than a chotzer, so that there's no reason not to put the sheet of muvos in this little booth. Another quote: V'ein oisin oiso ibur bein shtei ayoros. The attempt to join two cities together to create one municipal entity for tchum measurement purposes. We say that if the joining entity is this less than 4x4 amos, it's ineffective. Dafilu keburganin lo mashvinon lei. It is not viewed even as a watchman's hut, burgun. There's an illustration of what a burgun looks like if you look at illustration 24. A burgun, this is a watchman's hut. If a person, let's say, has a job or is assigned to watch fruits lying in the field, in order to shade himself, protect himself, he will spend time in this hut, a burgun. That, if it were located between the two cities, as was illustrated in 23, it would join the two cities together. This structure, namely that our less than 4x4 amma structure, is not even like a burgun. My taima. Why? Burgun in chazu lemilsayu. The burgun fulfills its role as a watchman's hut. It does something. It's useful. V'hai lo chazu lemilsayu. But a booth that measures less than 4x4 amos is not useful for anything. If we look in the Rashi, we're looking at Rashi in the wide lines under the Tosfos, the fourth of those wide lines under the Tosfos, Burgenin, Tzrif is a hut. She'osin min arova v'konim. It's made from willows and from reeds. L'shomrei peros o l'tzaydei oifos. For people that are assigned to watch fruits, watch Harvest Out in Fields or Bird Hunters. V'tanya be'erivin ketzim abrin. In Maseches Erivin, it says borginin misabrinima, that a borgon constitutes a city extension. And as we said before, for the purpose of measuring the tchum. Rashi continues, Limil Sayu, the Borgen is useful for its purpose, Linas Laila L'Odamechot. It's fit for a one night slumber for a singular person. Rashi continues, Ha lo chazi the milse. The chol bias osui l'diras keva tomid. A structure that's built as a house, as opposed to a hut, a structure built as a house, let's say with bricks and with a slate roof, it's meant for permanent dwelling. Well, a structure built with bricks and a slate roof that measures less than 4 by 4 amos is not fit for a permanent dwelling. So, even though it might appear physically as a more permanent structure than a borgon, but the borgon fulfills the role for which it was designed. A house measuring less than 4 by 4 amas doesn't fulfill the role for which such a thing is designed. We continue in the Gemara. Again, a quote from above. V'ein ho'achin v'ashutfin cholkin boy. Now, translated, it says that brothers or partners don't divide it, the structure less than 4 by 4 amos. We ask, taimo deles be arba amos. Well, it sounds from here that only because it's so small, namely it's less than 4 amos, it's not divided, it's not divisible. Partners who own it have to continue owning it jointly. Brothers cannot divide it if they inherited it in an estate. Now, that would lead us to infer, ha is be arba amos chalkin. But if the structure measured 4 amos, it's subject to being divided. The hotnan, but have we not learned, ein chalkin es a chotzer ad shie bo arba amos loze, ve arba amos loze. In order for division to take place, you've got to have an entity, a piece of real estate that measures 8 amos, whereby once it's divided, each party would get 4 amos. So the inference that we just made, that the only reason it's not divisible because it measures 4 amos, well, that's not accurate, because that would lead you to think that if it measures 4 amos, it can be divided. But we're saying now you can't divide things unless they measure 8 amos, where each party would get 4 amos. Elo Emo. Rather, say as follows. As far as the structure measuring less than 4 amos, you read as follows. Ein bo din chaluka b'chotzer. The rules of courtyard division do not apply to a structure opening into a courtyard measuring less than 4 amos. Now, at this point, marking-wise, you see a bracketed section. This is not for skipping purposes, because the end of the brackets already is after that, a brand new topic begins. In fact, material that we're not even going to discuss in today's shiur. So the role of these brackets, though, is to show that we've just said the main answer, the basic answer. We had a problematic source. It said, Ein ho achin v'shutun chokin bo. And now we're rereading that to say, Ein bo din chaluka. Now, what does that mean, practically speaking? So the details are found within the bracketed section. That having been said, let's continue. And we're using a long answer marking because all of this embellishes the basic answer. What do we mean when we say Ein bo din chaluka? So, before we go further in the Gemara, maybe it would serve our purposes best if we open the Pirush Chai to illustrations. We want to look at illustrations 30 and then 31. Let's talk about the illustrations before we read this in the Gemara text. So, we all have our Pirush Chai in front of us. In illustration 30, as well as 31, you see a chotzer. It's an aerial view of a chotzer with houses opening into the chotzer. In illustration 30, the caption reads, Yomar Avhuna chotzer lefi psocheha mischalekes. You have four houses owned by two people, illustrated by Aleph is Mr. Aleph, and Beis represents Mr. Beis. Two different people. One fellow owns three structures, and one person owns the fourth. Now, the fourth structure, the Beis, happens to be larger than the other structures. However, each one of the structures has an entranceway. According to Rav Huna, a courtyard is divided per entranceways. So that if Mr. Aleph has three entranceways and Mr. Beis has only one entranceway, three quarters of the chotzer goes to one person and one quarter of the chotzer goes to the other fellow, as you can see. Rav Chisda has a different idea of how a chotzer is divided. And that you see in the aerial view provided in illustration 31. Rav Chisda, and the caption reads, Rav Chisda Omar, Noisein l'chol Pesach u'Pesach Dalel Amos, v'shar cholkin oisoi b'shoveh. What does that mean? So each entranceway is provided with four amos into the chotzer, four amos of depth into the chotzer, and the four amos is, it runs in the length of the doorway. So the entire doorway, entranceway to whatever structure is, you've got four amos in front of that doorway. And the purpose of those four amos, by the way, is for unloading donkeys or animals that carry merchandise, carry items for you toward your house. You need four amos of working space in order to unload. And the four amos are provided in front of each doorway. However, once each doorway gets its four amos, whatever is left over, the rest of the chotzer is divided equally. So if you have, to keep things simple, if you have two owners, as you can see in the illustration, the rest of the chotzer will be divided equally between the two owners. Even though one fellow owns three properties and the other fellow owns only one property opening into the chotzer, but as we said, after you subtract, you take off the top, the four amos in front of each doorway, the rest of the chotzer is divided equally. That's called din chalukah. Now, what's the main point for us? And that is that if you have one of these structures is less, it measures, the structure measures less than 4 by 4 amos, so it doesn't participate in this chotzer division. And that is pointed out in the Rashi, three lines from the end of the page. Ubayis Kotten Zeh, Hapochus Midalit Ein Lepischoi Din Chaluka Lito B'Chotzer. Its entranceway doesn't have any Chotzer entitlement. Lo K'Rav Huna V'Lo K'Rav Chisda. Not like either Rav Huna nor Rav Chisda. Now, I hope we did some justice by way of introducing the Gemara. So now we can turn to the Gemara itself, without too much difficulty. We continue with the bracketed section after the Gemara says that a small structure ain bo din chalukah b'chotzer. What does that mean? The Amar Rav Huna, chotzer lefi psocheha mischalekes. Rav Huna says that a courtyard is divided according to the number of doorways, so that if you have one person having three doorways opening in the chotzer and the other person owning a structure with one doorway, the fellow having the three doorways will get three quarters of the chotzer. Rav Chisda Omar Noisein L'chol Pesach U'Pesach Arba Amos. Rav Chisda says that each doorway gets four amos. V'ashar Cholkin Oisoi B'Shoveh, and the rest of the chotzer will be divided equally. Dehani Mili Vayis. These rules are applicable when you have a house opening into the chotzer. De'Lemehevei Koi. A house is something that's designed to be long lasting. It is there to be. Lemeheve means to be, to continue there. Yavinon lechotzer. So something that's designed to be there, let's say, long lasting. So it deserves a piece of the chotzer. Hi, the structure that measures less than 4 by 4 amos, de la mistarkoi, it is something that is going to be destroyed, be knocked down, be raised. Lo yahavinon le chotzer. It does not have any chotzer entitlement. The next piece of Gemara is the beginning of a series of halachas that continue till Daf Dalid Omid Beis. It's a very long series, and the fact that it's a series is actually noted by Rashi himself, second line from the bottom. Piske Shmuel's Hain shall call Bnei Yeshiva Sheba Midrash Sheba Ashi Shesidru HaGemara. And so Rashi, Piske Shmuel's, it is a series of short halachic rulings. And hence we justify our marking system by what Rashi is telling us. He's pointing out a structure, and that this structure, in fact, as we pointed out, will last till Daf Dalet Amud Beis. So by a quick bird's eye view, you see this fantastic structure, Gemara structure, just by scanning the diamonds and the numbering that we have along with them, taking you to Dalet Amud Beis. But with all that having been said, we will wait till our next shiur for learning about them. Before we conclude, though, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.